Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus has cancelled a visit to Ukraine in protest over the imprisonment of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. New legislation will allow more people to receive compensation for property lost in Carpathian Ruthenia after World War II. And a Marian column that long stood on Prague's Old Town Square is to be re-erected this year, the Daily Litové Noviny reports. President Václav Klaus has cancelled a visit to Ukraine in protest over the imprisonment of former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko. The Austrian, Slovenian and German heads of state have also refused to participate in the upcoming summit of Central European presidents, citing repressive treatment of the former leader. The presidents of Estonia and Latvia are reportedly also reconsidering their attendance. Tymoshenko is serving a 7-year sentence for signing contracts for the delivery of Russian gas that were allegedly not in the public interest. Western leaders have said the case was politically motivated. She has been on hunger strike since April 20th. The worsening of Ms. Tymoshenko's condition would mean a weakening of Ukraine's position in Europe, says Czech Foreign Minister Karol Schwarzenberg. Mr. Schwarzenberg and his Slovak counterpart, Miroslav Lajčák, urged Ukraine to ensure that Tymoshenko receive proper medical care. Mr. Lajčák noted that Tymoshenko herself had said that she does not want her case to be an obstacle to Ukraine's entry into Europe, and he said that it was important that Ukraine cut itself off from its undemocratic past. Both the Czech Republic and Slovakia will be closely monitoring the situation, they said. New legislation will allow more people to receive compensation for property lost in Carpathian Ruthenia after World War II. The law will take effect on May 1st and allows the descendants of Czech citizens to file requests until the end of 2013. The previous legislation eliminated between 200 and 600 applicants who were forced off their land between November 5, 1938 and March 18, 1939. Legitimate applicants will be due 10 times the value of the property as assessed in the late 1940s and 50s, or up to 2 million crowns. Once the easternmost tip of Czechoslovakia and today part of Ukraine, Carpathian Ruthenia was occupied by Hungary in 1938 and annexed by the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. A Marian column that stood on Prague's Old Town Square for some 270 years is to be re-erected this year, according to the Daily Litové Noviny. Citing Prague Mayor Bohuslav Svoboda, the paper writes that the long reconstruction of the column is nearly complete and that its return to the historic square must yet be approved by the City Council. The column was erected in 1650 to give thanks for the protection of Prague during the Thirty Years' War. Locals, however, viewed it as a symbol of the Austrian Catholic domination of the country, and it was torn down by a crowd in 1918. A fountain from the 16th century may also be rebuilt in the next 2 years as part of a restoration of Old Town Square. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions are expected to remain very warm and mostly sunny throughout the start of the week, with daytime highs of around 26 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's program, the government has survived a confidence vote, yet its position is weakened. We have all the latest sports news, and in one-on-one, we meet Prague-based poet Stephen Dalvos. All that coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech government has survived a vote of confidence in the lower house of parliament. On Friday, 105 out of 198 deputies voted in its support. The vote revealed that besides the Civic Democrat and top 09 parties, the cabinet can also rely on those deputies who quit the Public Affairs Party and at least three MPs who remained members of the former junior coalition partner, which now sees itself as constructive opposition. But despite the safe majority in the lower house, the center-right cabinet might now find it harder to push through some of its reform bills, according to analyst Jiří Pehe.
I think that the problem is that this government has a majority, but it's not a real coalition at this point. It is a coalition of two parties which do not have a majority between them. and then a little loose body of deputies who are supporting this government. But unfortunately, they do not support some of the important reforms. And therefore, we may have a serious problem if, for example, one of the major reforms is rejected by some of the deputies who supported the government, then I think the government will be in trouble.
What do you think the impact of the mounting public pressure on the government will be? One of the biggest rallies, or protest rallies against the government took place in Prague some 10 days ago, which was one of the biggest since the fall of communism. The labor unions are now calling for some kind of strike that should paralyze the country by the end of June. We've also seen NGOs coming together criticizing the government on a number of issues, including corruption, of course, and the what they call anti-social budget cuts in social welfare and things like that. Do you think that this will have any significant impact, given the relatively stable support, it seems, of the government in the lower house?
Well, I think that this current government majority is fairly resistant to public pressure, or has been. So I think it would take a much bigger expression of outrage or much bigger demonstrations for the government to actually step down or to fall. It may have some, put some pressure on some of the people who support the government, but exactly because they are worried about the end of this government and worried about the fact that for a lot of them it would mean the end of their political life, they, in the end, I think, will not be easy to actually persuade that the government under this public pressure should fall. On the other hand, of course, such public protests have their own dynamics, and it is quite possible that, for example, if the trade unions manage to paralyze transportation industries and so on, if they manage to call protests which would come near a general strike, then, of course, this may have serious implications and the government may start unraveling.
Where does all this leave the parliamentary opposition to the government, the Social Democrats and the Communists? Do you think they have enough strength to try to make the government step down or topple the government in one way or another?
Well, I think that at this point the opposition has to really put pressure on the government, especially in the Senate, where the Social Democratic Party has a majority. And with this new situation, the government will have to override the veto of the Senate with 101 votes. Will be more difficult for them with only 105 deputies who support them. And then, of course, they can also sort of piggyback on public pressure on demonstrations organized by trade unions and so on. But we should not expect the opposition to topple the government tomorrow or 1 month from now. I think all of this may have a cumulative effect. And I personally think that the shock, political shock, will come in the fall during the regional and Senate elections, when the government parties may lose a lot of votes, and then they may think twice whether they should continue with this government project.
That was political analyst Jiří Pehe talking there to Radio Prague's Jan Richter about the situation in the Czech government following a vote of confidence on Friday. Thanks for that report, Jan. And now it is time for our latest sports news. The Czech team has won the Euro Hockey Tour for the first time in 14 years after beating Russia 2-1 in Brno on Sunday in their final appearance at the Coyote Hockey Games, the tour's final installment. The Czechs, in fact, finished third in the tournament and did not win any of the preceding events of the Euro Hockey Tour. However, 3 second places along with the win over Russia ensured an overall win for the Czech national team. The Czechs first beat Sweden 5-3 on Thursday, then lost to Finland in the penalty shootout before taking on the Russians on Sunday. The Russian team dominated the first half of the game and went ahead 1-0 early in the second period. But the Czechs' equalizer came some 14 minutes later, with Jakub Petružalek and Petr Nedvěd then scored the winning goal with just over a minute to go in the second period. Forward Petr Kšaslava had this to say about his team's historic victory.
We thought we could win the match ahead of the World Championships, but I think what is most important for us is that it was a huge motivation boost to beat two strong teams, Sweden and Russia. That is what really counts for us.
Staying with hockey, coach of the Czech national team Alois Hadamcík presented on Sunday his picks for this year's World Championships. Among the nominees is the young goalie Petr Mrázek, who delivered an impressive performance at the last U-20 World Championships, as well as Liberec captain, the veteran Petr Nedvěd, who topped the Czech league scoring charts this season. Surprisingly, left winger Jiří Tlustý, who plays for the Carolina Hurricanes, will not be able to join the national team. Coach Hadamcík on the Czech representation.
Jiří Tlustý has been having problems with his shoulders and won't be able to join the team. We can take 14 forwards to the World Championships, and we are taking one extra player just in case. We imagine that we will have two goalies, six defense players, and 12 forwards. We will leave two defense slots and three forwards open and wait how the second of the NHL playoffs pans out.
Coach Hadamcík also picked the goalies Jakub Štěpánek from St. Petersburg and Jakub Kováš from České Budějovice. The roster includes 8 players from the KHL, 7 from the NHL, and 6 from the Czech League. The IIHF World Championships in Finland and Sweden kick off on May 4th. In its first appearance, the Czech team will play Denmark. And in soccer, Liberec beat České Budějovice 4-0 on Saturday, conserving their advantage of 4 points over the league's second-best team, Sparta Prague, 3 rounds ahead of the end of the season. Midfielder Miloš Bosančič scored 2 of the 4 goals. České Budějovice already avoided relegation in the previous round, while Liberec still had a lot to lose, says coach Jaroslav Šilhavý.
Budějice byli už vlastně zachráněni, jo, tak si myslím, že ta motivace byla na naší
Budějovice straně. Were in a safe place, so I think that the motivation was on our side, and I think you could see it. After the first and then the second goal, we dominated the game, and then we scored another 2. We are of course very happy to have maintained our lead.
V podstatě jsme přidali ještě 2 branky, takže samozřejmě jsme rádi, že jsme udrželi ten náskok, který jsme měli před tímhle kolem.
Sparta Prague beat Olomouc 1-0 on Friday, keeping their hopes for the title alive. The third contender for the crown, last year's champions Viktoria Plzeň, faced Slavia Prague later on Monday. If Plzeň win, they will remain third with 5 points behind leaders Liberec. And I'm afraid that was all the sports news we had time for today. And now we speak to poet, teacher, and reporter Stephen Delvos in our program One on One. Stephen Delvos is a Prague-based poet. 5 years ago, he moved to Prague, where he edits the Prague Review, teaches literary writing at Charles University, works as a business reporter at the English-language newspaper The Prague Post, and occasionally hosts the Alchemy Poetry Reading Series at the Globe Café. I talked to Mr. Stephen Delvos about the English-language poetry scene here in Prague and what initially drew him to the city.
I came to Prague, I think it was 6 years ago, and I originally came here to study as an exchange student at Charles University, and so I was here for a year studying, and basically just came on a whim, but met some good people here and kind of fell in love with the city, so I went back and finished school in the U.S., and then I came back a year later, so I've been here for 5 years straight now.
Now, would you say that moving abroad has had an effect on your writing?
I think definitely, maybe not an effect that you could that other people would notice, but I think living abroad, for one thing, I kind of go between feeling like I'm on the cutting edge here and feeling that I'm lost in the wilderness, because there's a lot more happening in terms of publishing and things in the U.S. So on the one hand, I get to avoid kind of all the infighting and backbiting of the literary scene in the U.S. while still having access to it through submissions and things like that.
You are also very active in the local poetry scene here in Prague. Can you mention some of the projects that you are involved in here or that you are in charge of?
Sure. First off, I guess I started managing the Prague Review a couple years ago, which is a literary magazine that was around from 96 till 2001 and then kind of took a hiatus. And we put out issue 8 about a year and a half ago, and we're working now on the next issue. It's basically a once-a-year kind of literary journal of all types of writing and art and photography as well. So that we're looking to put out hopefully in the spring. Also, a new kind of personal project I'm working on, it's a poetry pamphlet series called Rakish Angel. And it's basically a limited edition kind of handmade publication of local poets, English language poets and Czech poets in translation. The first one was 6 Prague Poets, which came out in December, which featured myself, Katarzyna Rudchenkova, who's a Czech poet whose work was translated by myself, and Chris Crawford, who's a Scottish poet, who's also in there. 2 American poets, Gil Fleischman and Jason Mashak, who live in Prague.
With the big publishing houses, it's kind of very well known that poetry is something they shy away from. Would you say with the smaller publications that you are involved in that you find there is a market for poetry still?
Yeah, I think there's a market for poetry, but not in the way that we think of publishing markets in terms of, you know, if a poetry book sells a couple thousand copies, it's a big success. I think that there is a market for poetry. It's a smaller market than for novels, for example. I think poetry readers appreciate poetry and read poetry deeper than novel readers, for example. You might not find a book of poetry in the airport, but I think the people who read poetry, I don't think the audience has shrank or grown very much. I think it's stayed pretty constant.
Here in Prague, do you think that the English language poetry scene, which you yourself are very active in, and the Czech poetry scene, that those two sometimes overlap?
I can't speak for the English language poetry scene that's been going on for the last 20 years. But I think in my time that I've been in Prague, that's kind of one of the big failures of English language poets here. I mean, if you think back, you know, Prague is also often compared to, or was compared to Paris in the 1920s, the left bank of the 90s thing. But if you look back at the writers who were American writers who were living in Paris at the time, there was much more cross-pollination, much more translation of the surrealists and the avant-garde French writers, bringing those writers into English. And that really fostered some vital links between the two cultures. But here, I don't see as much of that going on. I know many, many people who've lived here for a number of years who don't speak any Czech. I think in the past couple of years, there have been some overtures between the Czech poetry scene and the American poetry scene or English poetry scene. And certainly there are some writers. I can think of Justin Quinn, for example, who's an Irish poet here, who teaches at Charles University, who's very active translating, especially Petr Borkovets, who's a contemporary Czech poet. I do think there's a lot of room for improvement in that. If that happens, Prague might finally, you know, really be recognized as the vital literary scene that it kind of always has wanted to be.
And in terms of Czech language poets, are there any that you would say you really admire or that have influenced you even?
Yeah, sure. When I was working on my master's degree, I lectured on Jaroslav Seifert and I translated a number of his poems. He's kind of a big figure for me. I really admire him he lived for such a long time. He had the opportunity to write about so many different historical and personal events. More contemporary, there's a Pavel Schrut, who recently released or had a bilingual collection published called Paper Shoes. I really admire his work. A number of others, Vladimir Holan, Nezval, the surrealist poets. Certainly some kind of stylistic traits and a kind of way of breaking lines and a way of a kind of solid stanza structure that I've tried to incorporate or kind of have unconsciously incorporated into some of my work.
And in terms of poetry-related events here in Prague, what was your highlight so far? Is there anything that really stands out?
Last year, I read at Švandovo Divadlo. They do a literary evening once a month, and I think once per year they have an English language evening, and so I read there, and Roman Kratokvila, who owns the Shakespeare and Sons bookstore, he invited me and he translated some of my poems into Czech. So it was a bilingual reading and mostly Czechs attended. So that was a big thrill.
You also teach at Charles University. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Sure. It's a new course that I designed for first-year students. It's basically literary writing. So I had the opportunity to put together a syllabus of my favorite poets and essayists and fiction writers. And so we read those, we discuss them, and then the students are basically, they're first-year literary students. So it's basically teaching them how to write about literature, which is pretty challenging, actually, because in terms of writing critically about things, you have to go beyond what you like and don't like and talk about if it's successful or unsuccessful. I also teach a few courses at Anglo-American University, which is a smaller private university here. In the summer, to coincide with the Prague Writers Festival, I teach a creative writing course, intensive four-week course, where we read all the writers who are here for the festival and have the opportunity to go to the festival and also workshop some students' work. So that keeps me active as well.
And so aside from teaching, you also work as a business reporter at the Prague Post. Do you ever still wish you would be able to make a living by just being a poet? And do you think that's even possible today?
Well, the number of people who have been able to make their living as purely as poets, as you know, you could probably count on one or two hands from the beginning of time. I think that the writers that I really admire are people like Sartre or Robert Lowell or Ezra Pound, people who didn't consider themselves just poets or just novelists, but considered themselves writers or men of letters, or George Orwell would be in there as well. And people who didn't limit themselves conceptually or stylistically to a particular genre, but try to kind of engage the world through writing. So that's the way I kind of try to look at it. I think if I had to just write poetry all the time, I wouldn't get bored, but I would probably write a lot of really bad poetry.
That was poet and reporter Stephen Dalbos there speaking about Prague and writing poetry. This edition of One on One first aired in January 2010. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our regular programming, but of course we are rounding it off, as always, with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Ahoy, and welcome to ABC of Czech. I'm Heather Bowne, and
Dita Asiedu
joins me in the studio. Today is our last look at shoes. Hopefully by the end of it, we'll be able to say without any hesitation,
Znám české boty jako své boty.
I know Czech shoes like the back of my hand, or literally, I know Czech shoes as my own. Not long ago, I wrote a letter from Prague called Cobblestones Are No Place for High Heels, because my feet hurt so much from wearing dainty sandals.
Pantofličky. Pantofličky
is a diminutive of a kind of Czech house shoe.
Pantofle.
Which comes from the French pantoufle. In case you do come to Prague, I do not recommend
pantofličky
for walking on cobblestones. But lots of people, especially women, as you may notice, do not wear comfortable shoes. Knee-high boots, dressy or not, are called
kozačky.
These boots are generally leather and take their name from a kind of high boots worn by the Cossacks. Women's dress shoes are called
lodičky,
which comes from the Czech or rather Slavic word for boat.
Loď.
Unfortunately, however, floating across cobblestones in Prague, especially in dress shoes, is not a smooth experience. In the summer, a lot of people, both men and women, wear
sandály.
Sandals, though men tend to wear their
sandály
with socks.
Ponožky.
Kids usually wear
sandálky.
Little sandals. Flip-flops,
Vietnamky,
are also quite popular, so-called because you can buy them cheap at stalls usually run by people from Vietnam. Hippie-style leather sandals called
Kristusky,
named after none other than Jesus Christ himself, are also quite common.
Martensky,
or Doc Martens, tend to be popular with students. And depending on the profession or who they hang around with, you may find Czechs wearing army boots, which they call
Kanady,
or
Bagančata,
which are hobnail boots. In case you're curious, I think all of these shoes,
sandály, vietnamky,
and
kristusky,
are a safe bet for maximum comfort while walking on cobblestones in the summer. But for winter walking, I would recommend
martensky
or
kanady,
just to keep your toes warm. I hope you've enjoyed today's lesson and will remember to choose your shoes wisely for walking on cobblestones. Take care.
Mějte se.
Until next time.
Naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with ABC wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. Please tell us if you have any thoughts on what you have heard on the show today. The postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And of course, the address for emails is english@radio.cz. Also, make sure to find us on Facebook. We have a profile there under the username Radio Prague. And you are more than welcome to share your thoughts on our wall. As always, everything you've heard in the program can also be found at our website radio.cz. There you can discover our huge audio archive, sign up for a free news email, or use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.